I'd like you to turn with me just in the closing moments of this meeting to 2 Timothy and chapter number 1. 2 Timothy and chapter 1. And just while you're looking up the place, can I sincerely thank God's servant for speaking tonight from the experience of his own life, how the Lord has saved him and led him and guided him. What a blessing it has been to hear of the grace of God again in the life of a young person. Someone that the Lord has saved in youth and kept and guided and led and is now using for the advancement of his kingdom. I pray tonight that young people in this meeting will surrender their lives entirely to the Saviour. There's no better place in all the world to be than in the centre of God's will for your life. Maybe tonight you're not yet a believer. You've never trusted Christ. And I know tonight that whenever somebody is concerned about spiritual things, somebody once said that salvation begins with consideration. And maybe in recent days you've been thinking about God and about your life, about your soul, about your past, about your present, about your future, maybe about your destiny. And you know that you need to be a Christian to get to heaven. You know that you need to be converted if you're ever to know Christ in a personal way. You know that your sins need to be under the blood if you're to escape an eternity separated from God. But there's a fear tonight in your heart, and that fear is real. What if I falter and what if I fail? What if I let the Lord down? What if he doesn't save me? What if I can't get assurance of salvation? Well, I have a verse for you tonight. It's found in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and it's verse number 12. I heard a testimony recently of a young man who gave his life to Christ. And the night that he was converted, he says there was no state of euphoria. There was no great sense of elation. There was no flashing lights. There was no sounds or signs from heaven. And I went home and I wondered, has the Lord heard my prayer? Has the Lord saved me? And this young man prayed and said, God, I need you to speak to me. I need you to give me something from the Bible that will really settle in my heart that I'm a Christian and my sins are forgiven. And he opened the Bible and the first verse that he read are the words that I want to leave with you this evening. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. What a wonderful verse of Scripture. Paul the Apostle, the Dean spoke about tonight, shortly after his conversion, entered into this wonderful experience of knowing for sure and certain that Christ was his Savior. He could say, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. In the closing moments of this service tonight, there are just a few things that I want you to consider from this verse of Scripture. First of all, the commitment of a life to Jesus Christ. The commitment of the life. He speaks about that which he has committed unto him against that day. And that word commit means surrender. It means to yield. It means to consecrate. It means to relinquish all prior claim. It means to yield and to surrender in its entirety. And here's a man on the road to Damascus realized he was wrong and God was right. He understood, I'm going the wrong direction. And my thinking about life, my thinking about God, my thinking about Jesus Christ of Nazareth has all been wrong. And he realized and came to the conviction that the Son of God was the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only had he died upon the cross, but now he has risen, ascended, alive evermore, and he's King of Kings, and he's Lord of Lords, and he's been living in rebellion against the very creator of his life and the giver of life. And at that moment he cried out and said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He was committing his life, his soul, and his all to Jesus Christ. And beloved, tonight I believe that if you're not yet a Christian, that's what God in heaven wants you to do. He wants your life to be committed unto him. The Bible says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Did you ever stop to wonder what this life is all about? Did you ever spend a few moments thinking and asking yourself, now, why am I on this earth? What is life all about? What is the purpose for living? Why are we here? Where did I come from? Where am I going? What is it all about? That is the great question of life itself. The Bible tells us that God has created us for his glory. And we have been put on this earth to love and to honour and to serve God Almighty. But sin has ruined that. Sin has separated between us and our God. And because of that, and in light of that, the Son of God gave his life for us upon the cross, shed his precious blood, that he might deal with the sin problem and redeem us and restore us and reconcile us unto God. He gave his life for you. And he wants you to give your life to him. C.T. Studd said, if Jesus Christ be God, and he is, and gave his life for me, and he did, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. The commitment of the life. Will you commit your life to God tonight? Having heard our brother's testimony of a life committed in service to Jesus Christ, will you come to that crossroads just now and say, Jesus, take me as I am. I can come no other way. Take me deeper into you. Make my flesh life melt away. Lord, here's my life. I maybe don't have much to give by way of gift or talent or ability. But Lord, what I have to give, I'm giving it to you. I'm committing my life and my soul tonight to you. The commitment of a life. You'll notice something else here in this verse of scripture, and it's the confidence of the believer. Paul said, I am persuaded. I am convinced and convicted. I am sure and certain. I am persuaded that he is able to keep. He is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Lord, here's my life. Here's my soul. I'm surrendering it. I'm giving it. I'm yielding it to you. And Lord, I am convinced that now that I have done that, that you are able to keep me. The little epistle of Jude ends with the words, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. I remember my grandfather, whenever he was probably into his late 70s or early 80s, health was failing, and my mother said to him one day, Dad, would you not think about giving your life to Jesus Christ? And he said, I would, but I couldn't keep it. I would, but I couldn't keep it. And how many there are who have this feeling in their heart, I couldn't keep it. And they're right. But the lovely thing is, whenever you acknowledge that and you give your life to him, he is able to keep you. You see, in Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 3, Paul said, I have no confidence in the flesh. I've no confidence in my ability. I've no confidence in my resolve to follow Christ. I've no confidence in my flesh, but my confidence is in him. I'm persuaded that he is able, and he is able because he's the Almighty. He's King of Kings and He's Lord of Lords, and nothing is too hard for Him. And has He not said in His word, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. My Father, which gave them to Me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of My Father's hand." And this is the conviction that Paul had. His faith was in a Savior who was able. A Savior who is full of integrity, who cannot lie. A Savior who has got absolute ability, who cannot fail. A Savior who has got absolute fidelity. He cannot forsake His own. You'll notice something else in this verse as well. The certainty of salvation. Because Paul says, I know whom I have believed. Paul could have said, I know what I have believed. What did Paul believe? He believed that Christ died for my sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. That is the gospel that Paul believed. And that is the gospel that Paul preached. And that's what you need to believe tonight if you're to become a Christian. And if you're to get saved, you need to believe, yes, I'm a sinner. I cannot save myself. But Christ died for my sins. And He was buried. And He rose again. And He's alive. That's what you need to believe. But Paul didn't say, I know what I have believed. He went further and he said, I know whom I have believed. This was a personal reality in the life of the apostle. And it's a personal reality in the life of every Christian in this meeting tonight. Every true born again Christian is able to say, I know whom I have believed. I know Christ personally. I know God intimately. I know Him. This is what the gospel is. This is what it means to be saved. Jesus Christ prayed in John 17 and said, and this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent. Can I ask you tonight, do you know Him? Is Christ real to you tonight? Can you say, like the hymn writer said, He walks with me, He talks with me, He tells me that I am His own? Some people know what they believe, but they don't know Christ personally. They don't know Christ intimately. And maybe the greater challenge still is, does He know you? Because in Matthew 7, as the Lord ended the Sermon on the Mount, He said, there will be those who in the last day will hear those awful words, depart from Me, for I never knew you. But Paul knew Him, and you can know Him tonight, because of this wonderful certainty of salvation. Then there's something else. There's the cost of discipleship. Because the verse begins with the words, for which cause I also suffer these things. Dean tonight in his testimony talked about fighting the Lord's battles. And he certainly did not say the Christian life is easy. It came through that the Christian life is blessed and joyous, and there's a contentment, and there's an abundance in the Christian life. But the Christian life is not necessarily easy. The Lord Jesus Christ, when He was on this earth, said the Son of Man must suffer many things. And He said to His disciples, marvel not if the world hate you, and in the world ye shall have tribulation. What did the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ lead to? It led to a cross. And the Savior said, if any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and let him take up the cross and follow Me. And Paul was under no illusion, or Saul was under no illusion, on the road to Damascus, that if I become one of these Christians and I align myself with a crucified Savior, and I align myself with Jesus of Nazareth, and I become a disciple and a follower of Christ, it's going to mean taking up the cross. What does the cross mean? The cross means surrender. The cross means death to self. The cross means being lifted up from this world. You see, whenever a man was carrying a cross outside the city wall, everyone to a man, looking at that individual knew he's not coming back. He's going outside the city walls and we'll not see him again because he's going to die. And that's what the Lord wants from us. He wants us to take up the cross. A.W. Tozer said there are three things about a man on a cross. First of all, he's lifted up from this world. Secondly, he's facing in one direction. And lastly, he has got no future plans of his own. I wonder tonight, have you taken up the cross? Have you taken up the cross? We have a Christianity now that's void of a cross. Somebody once said it is relatively easy to get people to the cross, or a cross, but it is a cross that leaves them uncrucified. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Take up the cross, the Saviour said, if thou wouldst my disciple be. Is he calling you to do that tonight? To take up the cross? But with all of that, there was also a great consolation of soul. Because Paul says, I am not ashamed. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. In Romans 1:16, he said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 11, he quoted the Old Testament promise, whosoever believeth in him should not be ashamed. Do you know what that means? It means not disappointed. There wasn't a moment in his life where this great man of God could have looked back and said, I regret becoming a Christian. I wish I had never met Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. He would never have been able to say, I wish I had never said those words. What wilt thou have me to do? Paul could say, I am not ashamed. I've got a great consolation of soul. I've got a great conviction in my heart. I've got a great purpose for living. And I have not regretted becoming a Christian for one moment. I don't think any true Christian can say they regret becoming a Christian. Being a Christian is a wonderful thing. The old song says it's a grand thing to be a Christian. It's a wonderful thing to be saved. It's a grand thing to know your sins are forgiven. It's a grand thing to be set free. Jesus Christ said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. But you'll notice the last little phrase within this verse. For the which cause I am not ashamed. Nevertheless, he says, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. The consummation of the ages. Paul was looking to that great and crowning day. To that bright and cloudless morning. When the dead in Christ shall rise. Paul was looking to that day whenever the heavens will roll apart as a scroll. And the Son of Man shall appear. And we shall see him as he is. And we shall be like him. You see, there's a day coming. Whenever Jesus Christ will come back again, this world of ours has not seen the last of Jesus Christ. And I have spoken to people over these last number of days, and they're not walking in fellowship with God, and they would acknowledge that, but they also acknowledge this. That everything that they see in the world around about us at this present time seems to be a coming together of Bible prophecy that's pointing to that day that's coming. Whenever Jesus Christ will come back again, the great and terrible day of the Lord. What a day that's going to be. It's going to be a day of reward for the Christian. And it's going to be a day of retribution for the sinner. And you'll not be able to fix your life whenever Jesus Christ appears. You'll not be able to fix your life, Christian, at the judgment seat of Christ. You'll not be able to have your sin forgiven at the great white throne judgment. You need to get the matter settled in a meeting like this, at a time like this. The Bible says now is the accepted time. And maybe tonight you need to commit your life to Him. Maybe tonight you need to have that confidence that your sins are forgiven. Maybe tonight you need to have that certainty of salvation. Maybe tonight you need to pay the cost or the price for discipleship. Maybe tonight you need that consolation in your soul that all is well regarding your standing before God, so whenever the consummation of the ages come, that great day comes, that you will see Christ as your Savior, as your Lord, and as your friend. Can I ask you, as this meeting draws to a close, will you give Him your heart? Will you give Jesus Christ your sin? Will you give Jesus Christ your life? And will you say tonight, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. We'll sing that hymn together in the closing moments of this meeting. It's number 480. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain, I count but loss and poor contempt on all my pride. Remember the words of that great evangelist and missionary, C.T. Studd. If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for Him. This is where the Christian life begins, at the cross. Will you come tonight to the cross? Will you by faith survey that cross as we sing this hymn? And see in yonder tree a Saviour, suffering, bleeding, and dying, even for you. Let's stand together as we sing these words, 480.